So I have no disclosures, at least of a financial nature, although as I was thinking about the personal disclosures, I went to Vietnam after the AIDS conference in Thailand, and we fell in love with many parts of this country, including the art. And so you'll see what the connection is there in a moment. I also have another disclosure that our second speaker, Dr. Majid, I have an interest in linking lab and pharmacy data. It's a very powerful lever for uncovering errors and preventing wrong drugs being given and dosing and renal patients. But all the best work in this was done by Dr. Majid. So I have a great jealousy and admiration for David's work there, and we'll probably hear some of it. So the session is really named after Avedis Donabedian. We walked over here with a new public health student and from Saskatchewan, welcome. I was recalling that I came to one of these sessions at APHA, I think as Ali invited me to an evening with Avedis Donabedian. Come closer, John, if you want. I had no idea who he was, and really the purpose of the session is not to backfill you in, but many of his works are really worth digging up. But I refer to him as a Palestinian theorist. He was born in Ramallah, and I'm going to just take just one little flavor, which I think is relevant to another quote that's sort of been haunting me and really to the challenge of our first speaker, really both speakers. This is from one of the last papers of Avedis Donabedian. And he considered quality more than anything else a moral enterprise, not sort of a technical exercise of tools and incentives, but he says it's a moral enterprise driven by convictions and caring. So here's his quotes that I found, I think, hopefully useful for today. To my mind, the most important single condition for the success of quality assurance is the determination to make it work. If we are truly committed to quality, almost any reasonable method will work. On the other hand, if we are not, the most elegantly constructed methods will fail. He says, it goes on to say, thus we need to hold the stewardship of quality as a sacred trust and dedicate ourselves to this high calling. And he actually ends this article, it was given, I guess, in Israel, where he calls for sort of peace in Jerusalem. So I guess there's no both nobler and greater challenge than peace in the Middle East, but I think this is sort of a little bit of our challenge here. And this has sort of a lead-in to a quote of an article that I recently saw from this is from the abstract. It was sort of a review of in Science magazine. It talks about incentives, and one of the first pieces that Dr. Pham wrote about relates to this P4P incentive things. And this says, incentives that appeal to self-interest may fail when they undermine the moral values that lead people to act altruistically or in other public-spirited ways. Behavioral experiments reviewed here, this is a review of the literature, suggests that an economic incentives may be counterproductive when they signal that selfishness is an appropriate response, constitute a learning environment thought with people over time come to adopt a more self-interested motivations, compromise the individual's sense of self-determination, and thereby degrade the intrinsic motivations, or convey a message of distrust, disrespect, or unfair intent. And again, this abstract concludes, good organizational and institutional design can channel the material interests for the achievement of social goals, which also, I think it was, while also enhancing the contribution of the moral sentiments to the same ends. So I think it's really in that spirit that both our past Donabedian awardees and really who represent some of the sort of the major figures in medicine and quality, and even our first session that Donabedian himself presented, coming to our awardee today, really are in the tradition of those people and those quotes that I think will hopefully be very inspiring to us. So as I mentioned, so our awardee, Dr. Pham, is somebody who at the age of 7, or is it 8, came from Vietnam as that war was crashing to an end. And, you know, hardly this peaceful village depicts the scene and this probably the struggles that she had to overcome. But really, within a decade of arriving here, Dr. Pham, or Mai, is that okay to call you, was at Harvard, undergraduate, graduating cum laude. She went to Temple Medical School. I saw something in her CV that caught my eye. She was chair of an AMSA meeting on activism called The Call Beyond the Call. And shortly after that, spent a year in Vietnam working on women's health issues, HIV issues, and population council that she was directed there. She's a primary care physician, and I think many of her comments, at least when I've heard her speak, relate to the perspective that she has as a primary care physician, as well as addressing problems related to primary care. So she's, until just a few months ago, was a senior researcher and a co-director of the Center for Studying Health System Change. And so over this very important decade of change in the healthcare system, she was there doing really the leading the research, documenting this, and many of the studies from her research are very important and helped inform the debate. And so now she's actually got an even sort of more exciting and interesting new job in this new center, a CMS Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation. And as she just described it to me now, this is something that's gone from non-existent to it's going to be one of the leading hopefully drivers and directors of what's going to happen in the health system over the next period. And so we're this is some of the contributions she made in policy and organizational healthcare delivery. I'm not even saying what the contributions are. There's just such a breadth of these areas. And the first bullet I took from her CV, but quality improvement, health disparities, particularly, again, as they relate to Medicare policy, again, perfectly preparing her for her new job. Medical home demonstration projects, which is really where I have interfaced with her most recently. But other interests and major papers she's written and studies and contributions are in information technology, care fragmentation, both describing this and helping us understand ways to overcome it, chronic care, and then even just clinical issues such as HIV, back pain, lean Toyota production models, writing about the Virginia Mason Hospital, and as well as payment reform, which I'm sure we'll hear about. And I'm just going to cite two of her papers, one of which was presented at the Society for General Internal Medicine under the title, How Many Doctors Does It Take to Change to Take Care of a Medicare Patient? And again, this slide basically shows that barely half the patients could you really reliably assign to one physician. They saw in this database, two PCPs, four specialists, 31% of the visits were to this supposedly assigned PCP. Yet who are we going to reward or punish for certain outcomes when patients have such diverse caregivers? And who are we going to expect to make these improvements? So to me, this leads us to say, let's think about a bigger system of care. And another way of looking at both the fragmentation and chaos and the need to think more systematically and globally was this more recent paper that was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. And again, without going through all the methodologic things, Dr. Pham and her team just asked the average primary care physician, because you should be working with sort of a limited team of people to try to improve patients' care, of course, is working with, just looking in the database of who else are they billing other patients, 229 different physicians. You're coordinating the care of your Medicare patients, which is only, again, a fraction of your total panel of patients. So you have to coordinate with 229 physicians, PCP, total physicians, 64 primary care physicians. These are these patients who are being seen by more than one primary care, medical specialists, surgeons, 117 different practices. And so how are we going to sort of make some headway without, first of all, trying to recognize this this bigger picture, which she's been so helpful in providing for us? And so what I'm going to do is present the award. And he'll come up, Maya, and then you will go to your slides and presentation. But and so we're in the 11th year of this award. So these are not only precious, but they're becoming a dwindling, scarce resource. So before he died, Avitus autographed. This is his classic book that actually was reprinted, so it is usually the green cover, about what is quality. He really defined the field, and these are sort of classic books. Hopefully you can find them on your library shelf. And again, each of these he individually, with pride and joy, I salute you, Avitus Donabedian, and that's volume two. With my compliments and best wishes, Avitus Donabedian. And then I think this is one of the quotes that I think is, for wherever I may be, I salute your dedication to advocating quality in healthcare. And he obviously knew exactly who was going to be here 11 years after he died, because it's so apt. So thanks for